The verse that I would use for our text, but not in the exposition tonight, is found here in Philippians chapter 2, where Paul says that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. I want to try with the help of God tonight to preach on the subject of perversion. I believe that the Apostle Paul indicates to us in Philippians chapter number 2 that we as the sons of God, the people of God, stand in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation. Now, what I'm about to preach about tonight from the Bible is nothing to do, has nothing whatsoever to do with hate. But it has everything to do tonight with holiness. What I'm about to say tonight and the subjects that I'm about to deal with tonight has nothing to do with anger. It has all to do with the authority of God's Word. I will repeat myself again. It has nothing whatsoever to do tonight with hate, but it has all to do with the subject of holiness. Now, President Barack Hussein Obama, on December the 22nd, with gay veterans standing over his shoulder, signed the bill repealing what Bill Clinton put into place in his era, what they call Don't Tell, Don't Ask. And basically, or Don't Ask, Don't Tell, basically what that law meant is that if you were a sodomite in the military, don't say nothing about it, because if you did, you'd get in trouble and get thrown out. And he done that as an act of compromise because of the Republican stronghold during his leadership. Here, just a few weeks ago, what they call a lame duck session in Washington, passed the repeal, if you will, of this law to allow sodomites to openly, amen, practice and express their sensual sexual orientation while in the military. As far as I'm concerned, that's what it's about. Are you listening to me tonight? And I was coming to church tonight, and I'll probably be a little slower tonight than normal, but I was coming to church tonight and listening to Fox News, and as I was coming down the road, they were talking about different things that's happened over the last few weeks and stepping into the year of 2011. And one of the men said that was talking, and I didn't catch his name, but here's what he said. He said, nothing good has ever come out of what they call a lame duck session. And I wholeheartedly agree. The signing of this bill, if you will, the approval of this law, is going to allow sodomites to openly enter the military expressing their personal sexual lifestyle, their perverted lifestyle. Now, the word pervert or the word perversion in your Bible and in any dictionary basically means that you have turned or distorted the purpose or use of something. It means to twist something or to bend something or to make something crooked. It means tonight that God had designed things to happen in a particular way. He has infinitely created and designed for that to take place, yea, or given commandment for something to be done in a particular way or a certain way, and men that have twisted or turned aside from that are considered in the Bible men that are perverse, perverted men. Job 6 and verse 30 says, is there iniquity in my tongue, Job said? Cannot my taste discern perverse things? Job said that I have the ability to taste perverse things. What he's saying is I have the ability, amen, to know and discern what is perverse through common sense, just as sensitive as your taste is tonight to a particular type of food, amen, you are able, with the conscience that God has given you and the common sense that God has given man, to discern that which is perverted and ungodly. But we have come to a place where we do not and seemingly cannot discern perverse things. The prevalence of wickedness has truly made the church of our century accept what the Bible declares to be ungodly. Even though things may prevail, and even though sin may run rampant, and even though it may seem as if it's like a raging river through our land, and apparently we can do nothing about it, it does not mean that we are to accept it. It does not mean that we can escape it as far as living in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, unless the rapture takes place or we go by way of the grave. But it does not mean that the people of God are to accept such perversity. The liberal mind on sodomy in the military, when they passed that law, here's what those men said. They said it was nonsense to resist on religious grounds. It was nonsense to resist on moral grounds. It was nonsense to resist because of potential disruption. It was nonsense to resist because national defense was at stake. It was nonsense to resist because a majority policy change was unwise in wartime. That's what they said. And it was nonsense to them, but it was senseless on their behalf. It was said that Robert Gates, Defense Secretary, and Admiral Mike Mullen, the Joint Chief Heads, amen, they were said that they deserved praise for overcoming the unaccepted military mind to vigorously urge this repeal. You listening? They compared it to segregation in the military as a historical event that could be compared to civil rights. Now, if I was a black man, I would be on the warpath. If I was a black man, I'd have the NAACP and every other organization you can dream of. And I'm telling you, I'd be ringing people's phone off the hook if they compared the rights that I had to serve in the military, amen, to sodomy in the military. They said, no longer will those that serve, speaking of gay, if you will, homosexuals, what the world calls them, the Bible calls them sodomites, no longer they will have to look over their shoulder. Look over their shoulder for what, may I ask? If there's anybody that's got to look over their shoulder, amen, it is an individual, amen, that has a mindset of the natural instincts and desires and passions that God has given him. This crooked, bent, twisted, distorted way of thinking has rushed in like a flooding river into the lethargic minds of Americans. And I'm not here to make some political speech. I'll preach the Bible to you tonight. A statement as I just made tonight would catalog me as what they call homophobic. So I guess I'm a murderophobic, and an adulteryophobic, and a rapophobic, and a thieveryophobic, and a child molesterophobic. Because I consider all such lawless transgressions of the Word of God the same as sodomy. And I'll tell you what I am tonight. I'm the very thing that men bled and died for, and wives lost their husbands for, and children lost their parents for. This country existed for. That's what I am. And that is a Bible-believing, born-again child of the living God. By way of introduction, may I say to you tonight that perversion goes far beyond sexual orientation. Note the definition again. It means to turn or to change or to distort the purpose or use of something. It means to bend something, to make something crooked. Things have been perverted in this nation and in the church. And I don't have time to preach all this tonight, but the message of God has been perverted. If you are in Romans chapter 1 verse 15, Paul said, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." He said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, that everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein the preaching of the gospel and the response of faith to those that are without God is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Paul said this in Acts chapter 13 when he was faced with a sorcerer who was considered a false prophet by the name of Bar-Jesus. He said, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right way of God?" Galatians 1:7, Paul said, "Concerning the gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." So for a man to twist the gospel, for a man to disrupt the way of God, and that is repentance toward God, faith in the Lord Jesus, and the preaching of the Word of God, I'm telling you, that message of the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus is the only way that men, women, boys, and girls are going to acknowledge their fallen state and come to repentance and faith in Christ and experience salvation. To pervert that gospel tonight means that you are a pervert. They pervert the message of God. They pervert the methods of God. The Bible said that sorcerer that Paul rebuked, he said that he had perverted the right ways of the Lord. God's chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God in His Word said that He has manifested His Word through preaching. Now I'm telling you, we got a lot of speech makers. We got a lot of men that use psychological ploy to gain, an altar call and decisions, if you will. The Southern Baptist and the Methodist and the Independent Baptist and every mainstream denominational head have come up with new ideas and programs to try to build numbers and pack their pews and fill their coffers with the treasures of men. But I'm telling you, to pervert the method of God is to be a pervert and to be wrapped up in perversion. There's only one way of salvation. There's only one method, amen, to get men to God. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you carnally entertain men, you'll have to try to carnally entertain them to keep them. But if you spiritually bring them to God, it will take spiritual things. Do you know why that men cannot keep people through spiritual things? It's because they're not spiritual. Not only those in the pew are not spiritual, but those in the pulpit and in the choir and in the piano, on the piano bench, on the organ bench, in the Sunday school department. They are not spiritual people. They know nothing about the touch and the anointing of God. And by that, they have perverted the method of God. A man's mouth can be perverted. Verse 21 of Romans 1 says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. I could read you verse after verse, Proverbs 4:24. Put away from thee a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Acts 20, verse 30. He said, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Things that come out of your mouth that cannot be trusted. You're a pervert. That's what the Bible declares you. You speak perverse things. Things that your mother and father cannot trust. Things that people in your business realm cannot trust. Things that your husband cannot trust. Things that your wife cannot trust. Things that the man of God cannot trust. That is perversity. That is a perverse mouth. It is words that come forth in verbiage that cannot be trusted. Things that come out of your mouth that are tainted. Things that would speak false doctrine. Things that would tear down what men have been established in regard to truth is perverse. Your mouth can be perverse. Your mind can be perverse. He said in these verses, verse 21, they became vain in their imagination. And their foolish heart was darkened. Verse 20, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. It is not that they do not have an understanding of God. It is not that they do not have a mind at this juncture in their life that cannot, amen, understand the existence of God. It is the fact that they have allowed themselves to be mentally perverted by the things that they have fed their mind, by the things that they have fed their mind, by the things that have went through their mind and entered into their heart and now is performed in action in their members. They are perverse. Things that cannot be trusted. Things that are tainted. They come out of their mouth. Their mind is perverse. And you can write these verses down, but in 1 Timothy 6, 3 and following, the Bible talks about perverse disputings of men with corrupt minds. Destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness. That crowd on the radio and on the television that your great-grandma's sitting there watching. She won't come to church, but she wants to watch all those prosperity gospel fellas that preach to them that everything wonderful is going to happen to you today. Those are perverts. The Jimmy Swaggers and the Jim Bakers and the Ernest Angleys, and that's about all I know. I don't even know any prominent modern day names, but I'm telling you, those men, amen, preach that gain is godliness. They are destitute of the truth. They have perverted minds. I wouldn't say that. I know you wouldn't say it. That's why America's in the shape it's in, because nobody wants to say anything. But their minds are perverted. Their thinking is warped. Their thinking is twisted. Their thought life is distorted and crooked and bent. So your mind can get perverted. Is your mind perverted tonight with the things you've listened to? Is your mind perverted tonight with the things that you have let filter through it? The Bible said that we are to keep the mind of Christ evident and manifested in our daily walk with God. We are to think as He thinks and have the same priorities and desires that He has. Do you have the mind of Christ? I never dreamed that at the Pleasant View Baptist Church that I would have to preach to people about the kind of music they listen to when it is very evident that those that are singing to them look act, walk, talk like perverted men. And they will excuse the message in the song. And they will excuse the depth of theology in the lyrics. Just sing to me Amazing Grace. Amen. Let the choir sing to me. I have enough problems as it is, amen, with the choir up here trying to keep them living right and holy so they can be a blessing to the household of faith and the church of God. And you want to cry out of one eye and let your lip quiver over some sodomite or some pervert and whoremonger with earrings in his ear and an ungodly life singing to you, and you want to act like it's a blessing. And I can preach my heart out, soak my underwear in socks, trying to tell you what God says in the Bible, and you'll sit there and yawn, go to the bathroom a half a dozen times. Your mind is twisted. Your mind is warped. And it is soon to be perverted. It is on the road to perversion. I could talk about music. I could talk about money. Anything that is referenced in the Bible that you have the ability or the potential of twisting, bending, distorting, or turning aside from the proper use is perversion. And I don't have time. I've got a message to try to get to, and I need the strength to try to give you the rest of my thoughts tonight. But I'm telling you, you can let your imagination go through the Word of God. I can just give you this illustration. Money is made. Money was brought into being. Money is talked about in the Bible for you to use to make a living. That one principle alone will save you from buying a lot of budget books, listening to a lot of financial counsel. Money is made for you to have a living. Not a motorcycle, not a boat. Are you listening to me? Not a vacation. Not the best clothes or a $300 pair of shoes. Or a gold watch. Or a brand new sewing machine. Money is for you to make a living. And when that basic principle is, and a living means, first of all, you got to eat. You got to have a place to live. That's what living's all about. A place and provision. Is that not right, Brother Mike? A place and provision. You get those two things as a priority in your life and let everything, I mean everything, from a cell phone to a text, from a set of mag wheels, from a new bumper on the truck, or whatever it may be, let go. Amen. And if you twist that, if you distort that, you have perverted the infinite purpose of that thing, whatever it may be. And what would lead me to my message tonight is the perverting of your members. Your members. Notice some things that the Bible has to say and the association that goes along with this sin. And I've waited for 2 or 3 weeks to bring you these thoughts because I wanted to get everybody here. But I've about near determined, amen, that I'm going to try to pray, preach what God wants me to preach. And if you're just not here, you'll just have to give an account for it. But I want you to notice what God says about this sin and what it is associated with. In Sodom and Gomorrah, you know the story in Genesis 19 and verse 7. The Bible said, Lot's talking to these men, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. I mean, Lot, a just man, yes, vexed within, vexed without, but he's calling Sodomites in Sodom brethren. And we've seen that come to pass. They want to be called Christian. They want to be allowed to say they believe God and going to heaven when they die. And before it's said and done, there'll be some of you that'll call them brethren. But Lot called them brethren, and he said, behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. You know the story. These angels came to Lot to bring him out of Sodom, and the wicked, perverted, ungodly men of Sodom came in to know them and wanted to fulfill their sensual lust with those angelic beings. That's how wicked they were. And I'm going to tell you what it's associated with. I'm going to tell you how God feels about it. In Exodus 22:19, the Bible said, whosoever lieth with a beast shall surely be put to death. Exodus 22:19. And on through Leviticus 18:22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It's confusion. He associates in the Bible, Brother Craig, he associates sodomy with bestiality, laying with an animal. That's what he calls it. That's what he associates it with. I mean, it's verse right after verse. He said, if a man also lie with a mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. That's what God said. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and ye shall slay the beast. And if a woman approach unto any beast and lie down thereto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Is that hard to understand? Deuteronomy 23:17, there shall no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. You listening to me? Come into the camp. Deuteronomy 27:21. Cursed be he that lieth with any manner of beast. And all the people shall say, amen. In the book of Judges chapter 19, the list goes on of how sodomy affected the people of Israel, the people of God during the days of the judges, and how it was associated with idolatry and ungodly idol worship. 1 Kings 14, the Bible said, and there was also sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And he took away the sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols. And the remnant of the sodomites which remained in the days of his father. And he brake down the houses of the sodomites that were by the house of the Lord. Are you listening to me? And in Romans 1 verse 24, the Bible said, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman. And they wasn't born this way, friend. They burned in verse 27. They burned in their lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Paul said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. So there's a potential possibility of deception here. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. That's womanish. You got a boy starts and he's prancing around acting like a woman. You need to put something, amen, somewhere to make him walk and act like a man. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. He said, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind. That's where he puts them. And that's where I put them. Are you listening to me? Let me backtrack just a minute here if I can. A number of years ago, the singer Elton John admitted to having a relationship with a goat. Is that not right? And I heard me and my son sat in the truck waiting on a fellow to come take us bird hunting the other day. He just has, at the age of 62, adopted a child. His first attempt failed because they said he was too old. But the newscaster said, you can ask my son, he has an advantage because he is gay and rich. And this child will never want for anything except the ability to naturally live his life and hear the gospel of Jesus. Are you listening to me? Bestiality and sodomy goes hand in hand. And it is an abomination and it is wicked in the sight of God. And that is the way God feels about this perversion. The members that God has created in His image and after His likeness has been put in place for the purpose, amen, to be productive and to fulfill the will of God. Give you a few things and I'll be done in a minute. Probably not a minute. But the prerequisite of perversion is found here in our text in Romans 1. In verse 18, the Bible said that these people held truth. I'm not going to say a whole lot about this. I'm just going to read the verses and you need to read them. These people that prior to this perversion, they held truth. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You got a Bible tonight? You got a Bible in your hand tonight? That's the prerequisite of perversion. They held the truth. Your son got a Bible? Does he memorize Scripture? Does your daughter have a Bible? Do they memorize Scripture? That is the prerequisite of perversion. They held the truth. They heard the truth. In verse 19, the Bible says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. They heard the truth. He manifests His Word through preaching. We're not in the Old Testament. We're in the book of Romans. I'm going to tell you something. You better listen to me. You can hold truth. Amen. You can hear truth. And you can still go down the road and pathway of a perverted life. I'm going to tell you what. It's not natural for a girl to always want to be around a girl. It's not natural, amen, for a man to always want to be around a man. And I'm telling you, it's wholesome and healthy for us to have relationships with each other in the household of faith and hunting buddies and sowing friends and all that kind of stuff. But I'm telling you, it is natural for a young lady to desire a life with a young man. It is natural for a young man to desire a life with a young lady. But they held the truth, they heard the truth, and they had the truth in their head. The Bible said in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. So the prerequisites of the perversion, gentlemen, is holding the truth, and you got it. Hearing the truth, you're hearing it right now. And having it in your head, many of you in this building could quote verses. And that is one of the requirements of being a pervert. The prerequisite of perversion. I want you to notice the power of perversion in verse 23. The Bible said, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Here's the power of perversion. The power of perversion brings about darkness. In verse 21, the Bible said, their foolish heart was darkened. Do you know what it's like to live in the dark? Do you know what it's like to have a blackened heart and a blackened world that you cannot see and live in? Do you fathom in your mind what it is like to perpetually live your life only able to feel your way around, solely governed by what you feel, nothing that you can see? The power of perversion will darken and blacken your heart and your ability. It is distorting. They professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Sodomy. Let me say something to you about sodomy. And I don't have time to get into a lot of statistics tonight. But sodomy is a rich man's disease. It's not a disease. It's a sin and wickedness. But I'm going to tell you what. It is a wealthy man's sin. The men of Sodom, amen, were wealthy. Well-to-do. The average sodomite earns in excess of $10,000 a year more than the average individual. When they take vacations, that are very elaborate and expensive. They have wealth. When they march and they express their wicked life and they march up and down the Capitol, they don't stay in the outskirts of towns. They stay in the most expensive and finest motels and hotels in the area. I'm telling you, sodomy's a rich man's sin. You listening to me? But it is a sin that brings darkness and distortion. They're very educated. Amen. On the average, they carry degrees. On the average, they have a higher position in society. But they are distorted in that they think themselves to be wise, but all the while they have become fools. Then they dishonor things. They change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. And because of that, in verse 24, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So here's what they do. They dishonor the master. They dishonor the master in that they try to change and disrupt and violate the natural purpose in which God infinitely created in you and in them. And they dishonor God. They dishonor their members. And I'm not going to get too plain tonight, but plain enough for you to understand where I'm at. But you think about the natural affection of a man that he has for a woman. God has made that affection that it would fulfill pleasure in his or her life and it would be productive. Is that not right? God has given that natural affection for a man toward a woman so that they could enjoy pleasure within themselves and at the same time fulfill the will of God by being productive. And they are not born that way. The Bible said they burned in their lust one toward another. Anything outside of that pleasure being experienced through the law that God has given and the love that those two people have for each other is against God. It is perverted and God has pronounced judgment on it. God said marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Productive. Are you listening to me? Now I look at this, but I don't know exactly how true the history is, but around the 1500s, somebody produced what they call a bolt. But they just didn't produce a bolt. They produced a bolt with a tap. That very principle that I'm preaching about, and I'm not trying to be very graphic, I'm just trying to get you to understand basic common sense and principle. That bolt, you can put them two bolts right there together, and you know what they are? Absolutely worthless. Absolutely worthless. But you take that tap that has been machined and threaded for that bolt to be used on, and it can hold this building together. In fact, Brother Jim, if you remember us putting this steel together, it's those type of bolts right there that hold this building together. It's that type of common sense principle that brought you here tonight in the automobile you drove. And I'm going to tell you what you do. You disrupt that principle in any way whatsoever and just use the bolt without the tap. And you know what happens? There is going to be failure. There is going to be chaos. There is going to be havoc. You don't have to be a brain surgeon or a scientist or a philosopher or a psychologist to understand that fitting. These plugs around this wall, what they would call those is female plugs. And on the end of a light or a piece of equipment is what men would call male. I need you to bring me a male plug or a female plug. But what we're trying to get, what this society is trying to get drilled and promoted in our mind, that it don't matter. That this don't matter. All you, if this is what you want, that's fine. But it'll fall apart. It's not going to work. It's not going to be productive. And I'm telling you, God is against it. It is perverted and unholy. You listening? They go against the demands that God has placed in nature. Let me ask you a question tonight. What would the military be like? Brother McQueen's probably got more experience in the military, I guess, as far as current experience, than anybody in the building. I know we've got some other retirees here. Brother McQueen's served, I guess, close to 25 years, I suppose. What would the military be like if, ma'am, your husband that serves in our armed forces is on a bottom bunk, and he hadn't been with you or seen you or been around you for 6, 8, 9 months, and above him is a woman at 2 o'clock in the morning, sleeping in the bunk above. What kind of situation is that going to produce in the structure of our military and the ability for them to defend this country? Now, I don't know if you women know how to think that way, but not every man in this building knows what he's thinking. And that's not perverted or ungodly. I'm just telling you, it is a lust and an incontinency that is in every human being in this building, both male and female. You wouldn't want that, would you? This military don't want that. Because we're going to have pregnant women everywhere. We're going to have illicit affections everywhere and sensuality everywhere. And I'm telling you, this country is going to rot within. Let's flip that around for just a minute. Let's put your husband on the top bunk. Let's put the little gay sodomite on the bottom bunk who's been watching your husband take a shower for the last 2 or 3 months, who says that he has the right to have the same kind of affection for a man that your husband has for you, and you tell me what's going to happen. Has anybody got any ideas tonight? You tell me what's going to happen when they're in battle and there is what they call that affection. And there is an affection, but it is unnatural. It is unholy. It is ungodly. It is perverted, but it does exist. Now you tell me, what kind of atmosphere is that going to produce? You listening to me? We can't hardly, you know, we got ourselves in a situation right now in America that we can't hardly discern the different orientations of individuals, sexually speaking. Now, you tell me what the military is going to do with that scenario. Build everybody a little separate cubicle with a locked door. Divide all the showers up. I mean, everybody's going to have their own babysitter. Are we going to have the awfulest mess you've ever seen unless somebody revolts against it? Unless within the structure of the armed forces, amen, they are men and they are sensible women that serve this country that will rise up and say, this is not going to exist. I mean, we've already been told the thousands of men who have said that they will retire immediately because of this law, and hundreds of them and thousands of them that say that they will not re-enlist and serve this country. So we're going to have a bunch of sodomites defending the nation that we all hold dear to our heart. I'm going to tell you something. Common sense says this. If this is all right for someone, it's all right for anyone. Right? If it's all right for anyone, then it's all right for everyone. And if it's all right for everyone, sooner or later there ain't going to be no one. And I didn't read that somewhere. I funk that up myself. I'm telling you tonight, if it's all right for anyone, if it's all right for one, it is all right for anyone. If it's all right for anyone, it is all right for everyone. And I'm telling you, the human race will fall apart because it is unnatural. It is unholy. It is ungodly. It is against the Word of God. It's not about hate. It's about holiness. Product of perversion is this. In verse 29, they are filled. The Bible said, being filled with all unrighteousness. They are filthy. In verse 29 through 32, we have a list of the sins, haters of God. Do they love God? They hate God. Do they love the church? They hate the church. I'm telling you, the sodomite, are you listening to me? That group of people despises you tonight. They tolerate you because they are what they call the minority. But I'm telling you tonight, they despise the Word of God. They despise the preaching of the Word of God. They hate you tonight. The Bible said they're filthy. They're filled with all unrighteousness. And they are fools. The Bible said in verse 32 that they have pleasure in them that do them. Those of you that can take pleasure in this wicked, ungodly group of people are placed in the same group with them. They are senseless. Their foolish heart has been darkened. They are without intellect. Lastly, the price of it is this. In verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. You know what that means? It means He quit. That's what it means. It means God was finished. God is done. God is finished with them. When they come to a place where they will not retain God in their knowledge and they give themselves over to this vile, wicked life, God says, I am done and finished with you, sir. Ma'am, I am done with you. And because of that, He gave, not only gave up, but He gave you over in verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Who did He give them to? Gave them up. Then He gave them over.
Who exactly did he give them to? Gave them to themselves. To fulfill their wicked, ungodly lust that is totally unnatural, perverted, and against God's will and His Word. And now, according to these verses, they are turned over to a reprobate mind. And according to the Bible, not my words, but God's words, they are gone. They are gone. Without hope. You can preach to them. You can pray for them. If they have quit, if they have stopped, if they have come to a place where they do not want to retain God in their thoughts, and they have given themselves over to that perverted, wicked life, then God has given them over. There's not very many families that are not affected in this building by divorce. Most probably every family somewhere along the way is affected by divorce, remarriage. I remember a time as a young man that was a very rare thing in the church I attended. It was very rare for there to be a split up couple or somebody that had been divorced and remarried when I was a young man, and I'm only 50, be 51. And I never dreamed that every family, including my own, would be affected by this sin of adultery. But it did. And now tonight, as adultery crept in and swept through the land like a rushing river, sodomy and this perverted sin is doing the same thing. There's very few families that's not affected by it. My family tonight, indirectly, is affected by it. But yet, it's, even though it's not in the blood aspect of my family, it's a something that I will have to constantly deal with. Yes. Yes. What do you do about it? You stand where God stands, or you're wrong. Well, preacher, I live in America. I know I live in America too. And I love this country, Brother Farmer. But I'm telling you what, the decision that the President of the United States made to sign that repeal the other day sent this nation, I'm telling you, down a road that I don't know if she can ever return and recoup from. I mean, they spent weeks debating on the news and talking about the security in the airport, from the pat down to the x-ray. They ain't said a whole lot about this. Very little. And it breaks my heart. It saddens me greatly. But I'm telling you tonight, I'm against it. Because I shall stand where God stands. I mean, you don't have to be very smart to understand productivity. You don't have to be very smart to sensibly, logically understand the natural use that a man has and a woman has for each other. You don't have to be very intelligent to understand the complications of unnatural affections and lust that will run rampant in the situation that has been created by a bunch of senseless, brainless, ignorant politicians. So I tell you what, that's bold language, and it's on the internet, and we'll archive it and put it on there from now on, that's where I stand. And I'm not changing. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. I have tonight in America the biblical and commanding right to stand where I stand. And I have the constitutional right in this country to stand where I stand. I may not can change what they believe or what they practice nor how they live, but the men that died and gave their life for this country, shed their blood, and put themselves in harm's way for the sake of the liberty that we have is the liberty that I express tonight in standing where God Almighty stands. And if you don't stand there tonight, the best thing for you to do is go somewhere else. Because unless this church wants to vote me out tonight, that's where we stand. Now, if you want to make a motion, have at it. If you want to start the business meeting, you'll see no conflict from me. I won't fuss with you. I'll go to Sinking Creek Hill. And I'll go on down the road. But I am not going to violate the principles of this book for the sake of a prevalent sin and the wicked mindset of politicians and wicked men. So you have that prerogative tonight. You can get you a business meeting next week. If you're a little nervous right now, a little embarrassed to jump up in front of the whole crowd, get on the phone, call you a group of fellows up, get you some together, and I'll be gladly take my name off the sign and the bus if you can get my name off the note. Because if you're going to vote me out, I definitely don't want to be responsible for paying the bills around here that I am right now. I'm not saying I own the place. I'm just saying get mine, Brother Joe, and Brother Jim's name off the note. Amen. Y'all guarantee the $300,000 or $400,000 instead of us. Amen. So you can just put it in the minutes tonight, Brother Kenneth. That's where we stand unless they vote me out in the next week. Just go ahead and write that down. I think it'd be good. I got a motion and a second there. Amen. Got a second? Amen. Can I hear a good amen? Amen. That's where we stand. If you don't want to stand there, praise the Lord. Head down the road. I hate it. I hate it for our men that are having to serve this country under such adverse conditions. It's bad enough to be fighting a wicked enemy that is ruled and regulated by a ruthless religion. Much less to have this kind of inward struggle to have to constantly, daily deal with. God help us tonight. You know what we need in America? We need revival. And in the midst of that revival, we need a group of men that will stand up for what is right and what is righteous and be put in a position to govern this land. Right now, what we are living under and dealing with is men that have made careers out of lying and crookedness, laziness, and they've done so with the intellectual achievements that they have gained. Well, this country was founded on men that worked, made a living, knew what it was to labor, and served this country. Amen. God help us tonight. Perversion is wicked. Say, well, preacher, you know, I got a cousin. I know you do. Everybody in here has somebody. But that doesn't make it right. And I'm telling you, the judgment of Almighty God that fell on Sodom and Gomorrah and stayed, I'm talking about the blessing and grace of God whose hand was stayed off the nation of Israel during the days of apostasy. where this sin was prevalent even around the house of God, I'm telling you tonight, God will judge sodomy. And that's what it is. Now, they don't want you to call it that. They want you to say homosexual or gay, lesbian. But they're sodomites. The Bible says they are sodomites, and so does Webster, by the way, in any other dictionary you want to look at. And I'm telling you, there were laws and still are laws on the books in this nation against it. But beyond the laws that are in this nation that are against it, they may change their laws, they may tear those laws up, they may burn them in a fire, but the Word of God, the law of God, stands true and faithful and sure, and God will see to it that it is preserved. And I'm telling you, that's how God feels about it.